Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I've been bringing on the purposes, God's purposes, in the vow of the Nazarite. Now, this is something that the Lord spoke to Moses. It's recorded in the sixth chapter of Numbers, but today, because God's principles do not change, there is significance for us today as New Testament believers. But we are examining and looking at what the law required of someone who chose to take, a man or a woman, the voluntary vow of the Nazarite. We saw, and we have discussed in the previous days, that it was a voluntary vow. It was not required by the law, that it was entire, it was complete, it wasn't half-hearted. There were various signs that one was a Nazarite, for example, not cutting your hair. So it was an open profession. And then yesterday we began looking at the fact that it involves great self-denial. They had to abstain anything that related to the vine, even grapes and raisins. And this was one of the luxuries of life in those days, that it was a great self-sacrifice because they were giving up one of the only luxuries that were readily available to everyone in those days. And so our natural inclinations must give place to the Word of God if we choose to spend some time in fasting. That's what this really was. They were choosing various things, but Jesus said in the sixth chapter of Matthew, He said, when you fast. So God expects us. He's not laying down rules, regulations, but it's something out of our love for God that we are able to lay down carnal desires for a period of time, voluntary, and devote ourselves to dedication and consecration to the Lord. That's the purpose of a fast. That was the purpose of a Nazarite vow. Someone that wanted to draw closer to God. They weren't forced into it. It's something they wanted to do. And a consecrated life means not my will, but thy will be done, even as Jesus prayed. He did not want to go to the cross. He said, Father, can we work out some other way? But He was willing and said, whatever you want, I will do. And also, I want to make clear that this is not asceticism. This is not, as for example, in the Middle Ages, monks drew aside together to separate themselves from the world, and they practically starved themselves, they flagellated themselves, they had all sorts of things that were not what God was requiring. Out of their own natural minds, they thought that would be acceptable to the Lord. But what the Lord wants, He's never changed. He wants a heart and a life that desires to please Him. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He's not requiring a list of rules and regulations. He's just wanting us to He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to experience the joys and blessings of the Lord. But there is a time also, just like there's a time for war, a time for peace, a time to dance, a time to refrain from dancing, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, as Proverbs talks about. But there is a time when sometimes there's maybe perhaps great testing, or, for example, seeking the Lord for the fulfillment of a special request, that we will, of our own volition, set aside something that would require self-denial and self-sacrifice. Matthew 10:37 and 39 says, "He that," these are the words of Jesus, "he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." To the carnal mind, how difficult these things are to understand. They simply can't. It's not until you are born again, when your spirit man becomes alive, that what God says in his words begins to make sense. It's not like a sinner. They read the Bible and they can't understand. What? It's contradictory. They see no significance, purpose. It contradicts common sense. Well, yes, to the natural mind, but not to the spiritual man. Not when you understand the heart of God, you understand that he is a very wise God, and everything he does is out of love. As for God, his way is perfect. You can't improve on that. That's scripture, quote unquote. So yes, the Nazirite vow does involve great self-denial. But with these sacrifices, let him deny himself, take up his cross. With these sacrifices, God is well pleased. And it's also important to note that the consecration of the Nazirite bore a striking resemblance to that of the high priest. Remember in Revelation, Jesus has called us a kingdom of priests, kings and priests that are set aside to minister to God. That's what a priest does. Leviticus 21 10 and 12 says, let me read that to you. "And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes." There are certain actions that he could not do. "Neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God." Why? "For the crown of the anointing of his God is upon him. I am the Lord." The high priest and the priests in general, they were sanctified and meet for the service of God when they occupied their true place and when they were set apart by the holy anointing. And there was a special oil, holy oil, that was put together, fragrant, that in special proportions, that was designed just for the anointing of the priests. So what does this say to us? Well, this sanctification, this holiness, this consecration that we're talking about fits us, prepares us for the service of the King. And it's not a growth process, but it's a gift. Think about that. We're talking about self-sacrifice and willingness to, you know, lay aside something that's desirable. It's really God who allows us to, he's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's one of my favorite scriptures. We grow by grace, but we're made meet for the master's use by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We have to be willing. Our heart has to say yes to the Lord. But it is the Lord himself who will anoint you and sanctify you. So we cannot grow into the promise of the Spirit. What does Galatians 3 and 14 say? Let me just turn to that. 3 and 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is through faith. It is not through works. By grace are we saved, not works, lest any man should boast. That the blessing of Abraham, that's an amazing thing, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of God's precious Holy Spirit through faith. Who then is willing to set himself apart that he might receive the anointing, the unction from the Holy One? And then we're still looking at the aspects of the vow of the Nazirite. It was unto the Lord, not to anyone else. Verse 8 says, all the days of his separation, that's Numbers the sixth chapter, he is, quote, holy unto the Lord. The Nazirite was not making his vow to make himself odd or strange or peculiar, to be talked about among his fellow men, to satisfy his own pride or ego, to be, quote, different and spiritual, but through it he was seeking a deeper relationship with God. Paul was a Nazarite unto the gospel of Christ. In Romans 1:1, that Nazarite, it means to be separated, that actual Hebrew word. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, it was God's choice, separated unto the gospel of God. It carries the meaning of being truly devoted or consecrated unto the Lord. Devoted to the Lord, it means belonging totally to Him. We don't have our foot in the world, one foot in the world and one foot in the church, but we belong to the Lord. We are the servants of the Lord. Remember when the Israelites were being led through the wilderness, and when they crossed Jordan, the very first city they were to conquer was Jericho. What did the Lord? He had some specific instructions for that city. The city shall be, quote, devoted, and all that is therein unto the Lord. That's Joshua 6:17. Everything in that city was devoted or consecrated to the Lord for destruction. All the precious metals, the iron, the bronze vessels were sacred unto the Lord and went into the treasury of the Lord. But remember the sin of Achan? He seized the enemy's goods and thereby flagrantly disobeyed God's express command. As a result, they could not stand before their enemies. Remember Ai? And so this is a solemn warning for us to never appropriate for selfish use what has been devoted to God. Every offering laid upon the altar was devoted to God. It would have been a sacrilege to take it back. And remember the servant with the bored ear, he wanted to remain with his master in Exodus 21:5. They became forever devoted to his master. Hallelujah. Well, there's more to share, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue on. Thank you for joining me. And as always, the announcer will give our contact information. If you choose to email, if you wish to include your mailing address, I will be able to respond personally by mail, a letter which will address your needs. No one else reads or answers the mail. And of course, if you just email, of course, I will pray and confirm receipt. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.